Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
They are all apes. They're all part of the ape family. Like, even humans are part of the ape family.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
They're all homo... something like, we're homo sapiens, they are homo it's a different word. I can't think of what it is.
Primates.
Yeah,
the homo primate.
I don't think it's homo primate.
Yeah, it's just primate, just stupid idiot.
Airing every day from 10 a.m to 1 p.m
but we're all like part of that. Well, depending on what you believe, I mean, that's a whole different thing, but like, just, you know, characteristically, like, we're all part of kind of the same same thing. Like, we're not apes, but, well, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway.
Are you about to go theory of evolution?
No.
Is that where this is ultimately heading?
No, I don't want to go there. It's just that we all have very similar qualities. The opposable thumbs and the... So, I think we're all apes, but we're not all monkeys. Like, you and I are not gorillas. Although, wouldn't you love to be?
On 1340 WKGN.
Help me out here.
Can I get back to talking about Coach Mack?
Hour three, kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Power T-Tape says, you would think that he, Nick Bosa, would want to return to great NFL mind Greg Schiano to help his undefeated team win a national title, but I guess you'd be wrong. Strange. Stephen Brooks says, I can't believe this guy, Nick Bosa, wouldn't want to get past this medical condition and play. Urban Meyer would never let a medical condition keep him from doing his job. Hour three headlines, Cody McClure. Collision course. Right now.
No live read?
I'll do it later.
Okay. An extreme weather extreme weather could trigger.
No, thank you.
Thanks, John. Let's just start over here. Extreme weather could trigger a global beer shortage, causing prices to skyrocket worldwide.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Rising global temperatures affect not only our safety, but what we eat and drink as well. And in recent years, scientists have uncovered a link between climate change and our consumption of popular items like wine and coffee. But now, a study coming from the University of East Anglia has found a link between extreme weather and how much beer we drink.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to be on the right side of this one.
The beer industry could be hit pretty hard by climate change. A severe form of drought or heat, according to the researchers, whose findings will appear in Nature Plants this year, say that extreme weather conditions could spur a 16% decline in global beer consumption. That's equivalent to 29 billion liters. Which, oddly enough, is the amount of beer consumed annually in the U.S.
Okay.
So, basically, what this means is beer prices could go up, which none of us are excited about. That's bad news for the global beer market. Could see beer prices double worldwide by 2022.
Double?
That's what this says. This is just one report, one research. You know, it's Business Insider, so, I mean,
okay,
it's pretty reliable.
Beer prices will double.
They could double worldwide by 2022. The effects would be particularly seen in China, which is the world's biggest beer consumer.
That's surprising. I mean, I know there's a lot of people
there's
there.
There's way more people in China, but...
I mean, I guess it's not that surprising when you realize how many people are in China, but I didn't take them for big beer drinkers.
Yeah, I didn't think Chinese dudes drink a lot of beer.
Or girls.
I mean,
that's basically a third of the planet.
I understand, Ben. I understand. A lot of people there.
I guess I never really thought about what the Chinese people drink.
I mean, they just all seem so fit. Like, I'd imagine they could only drink, like, two wine, at most.
Like red wine or something.
I was just going to say like two servings at most before being pretty
lit.
Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting headline.
Did you know that if extreme heat or drought struck tomorrow, the nation could see consumption decline by about 10% or more than 12 billion cans of beer? By contrast, the U.S. could see its consumption decline by up to 20%.
Go see our friends at Hops and Hollers.
Well, you can. Yeah. Habib's manager says Connor doesn't deserve a rematch because he's a quitter.
I don't think he deserves a rematch either.
Nah, he sucks.
He got destroyed.
This guy.
I don't want to watch Conor McGregor fight ever again.
No, I don't think so. This guy, he quit, says Ali Abdelaziz. That's Habib's manager. How are we going to give a guy a rematch? Then he calls him a...
I mean, money.
B word.
Money's the answer.
Says he's a B. He also calls him a prostitute. Really taking shots at Conor.
I mean, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Say whatever you want after you get beat up, or after you beat the guy up so badly.
You beat him down. Le'Veon Bell not expected to report to the Pittsburgh Steelers this week.
That's kind of surprising to me because I was under the impression that NFL salaries were paid over 17 weeks, right? That's what I had seen when I was reading. Intern Andrew, see if you can find that because I was under the impression and some of the stuff I read and some of the stuff I listened to had said that NFL salaries are spread into 17 weeks. Like, you get paid on the bye week. Like, you still get your NFL check on the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, NFL players would hate the bye week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be like, damn it. We don't get paid this week? Can we just play? So I thought that Le'Veon Bell was definitely going to show up on the bye week and get his paycheck.
Apparently not.
Like, hey, I'm showing up. That's factual, right? 17 paychecks. Yeah, so what are you doing, Le'Veon? This was a free chance to get $800,000. The real question is, I guess, does he get fined? Does he get fined $850,000 for not being there for a bye week? What the hell is going on here, Le'Veon?
Jimmy Butler says, go ahead and boo me to Timberwolves fans. He says he's not expecting a warm welcome from the Minnesota fans.
Oh, God, yeah, that is. He's still on the team. He's still on the team. They play tomorrow.
Their home opener is on Friday.
They play on the road tomorrow. I want to say
San Antonio.
Okay, I was going to say it's another interesting team because I was kind of interested in that game. Okay, so they play San Antonio on Wednesday, and then they come home on Friday against Cleveland.
Yes, yes. Jimmy Butler was asked if he anticipates a negative reaction from Timberwolves fans. He said, sure, go ahead, boo me. It's not going to change the way I play. That's going to make me smile more. So please, come on with it. Jimmy Butler fully expecting to be booed by the home crowd.
Jimmy Butler does seem like the type of guy who would enjoy getting booed by the crowd. But at the same time, Jimmy Butler seems like the type of player that you would really love if he was on your team. Like, he does play harder than anybody else on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Do you boo that guy? I mean, he's asked to be traded. So, like, I guess you do, but at the same time, like, it's – to me, it would be tough to boo someone who goes all out and plays really hard and is also maybe your best player. Like, I know Towns is great, but I still feel like Butler might be better for now. They still haven't traded him. Wow. This is going to be interesting to watch. You might see them go down the court and not pass Jimmy Butler the ball. Would you be surprised if the other four guys are like, no, just don't give him the ball? Or maybe this will galvanize the team and they'll all of a sudden be passing the ball better than ever.
Maybe they will. The Raiders are seeking a first-round draft pick for Amari Cooper.
Yeah, that seems smart. Good luck.
Yeah, seems like something they're not going to get.
Randy Moss got traded for a fourth-round pick. Wes Welker got traded for a fourth-round pick. Now, granted, like, there was question marks about how good Wes Welker was when he left the Dolphins, and Randy Moss was kind of a headache. Josh Gordon, You know, got traded for a fifth, sixth round pick, and of course you have the questions with him. I have questions of whether or not Amari Cooper is good at football.
He used to be.
Like, I know that we haven't ever had really any issues with him in the locker room or getting into trouble or anything. So, like, we're not worried about his character. I'm worried about whether or not he can catch the football. That's what I'm worried about.
Ian Rappaport reports the Raiders hope to get a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, but the demand might make it difficult, if not impossible, to deal Amari Cooper.
John Gruden has been an unmitigated disaster, and I don't think he realizes how things work anymore. No one's giving you a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, bro. It ain't happening. No wonder he got fleeced in the Khalil Mack trade. No wonder he got talked into giving picks back.
Well, John Gruden says he doesn't even know about it, about this.
He keeps acting like he's not the one running things there, and poor Reggie McKenzie, VFL, is getting thrown under the bus and backed over with it. Like, he's getting all the blame for all of these things.
Gruden said, "I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that on the trade rumors. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm just," this is an actual quote. "You know, I'm not, you know, I'm just sorry to have to deal with a lot of these reports, but I just hope Amari's okay. Like I said, he's going to be a big part of our pass offense." So Gruden says he knows nothing about this.
Okay. All right.
Giants owner John Mara says Odell Beckham needs to talk less and play more.
Already said that one. Keep moving. Give me an NBA one. Russell Westbrook out.
I already said that.
Tonight, yeah.
What do you mean?
Ben Lee, you remember, right? Do you remember how the conversation went?
Oh, we talked
about... Please turn your mic on and tell me how the conversation went.
We talked about Odell?
Yeah, John said that thing about Odell, and then we sparked the whole conversation of should they draft Tua in 2 years from now?
Oh, no. I don't think that was it.
I don't recall that.
I mean, you did talk about
it. Yeah, you remember the talking, but you didn't remember the details. Sorry.
I mean, like, basically, it led into that.
What happened was we were doing National Boss Day. Cody said it's National Boss Day. Shout out to Nate. And I said, speaking of National Boss Day, the owner of the New York Giants, and speaking of Monday Night Football, you did the Monday Night Football ratings. And I was like, speaking of Monday Night Football, next week's Giants-Falcons game. With the 1-5 Giants against the 2-4 Falcons, and in the honor of National Boss Day, Odell Beckham's boss says he should.
Yeah, I don't think anyone heard that.
And then that led into the conversation of their team and what they should do with the draft.
I don't know if that's exactly what happened. I think that was more about Nick Bosa last segment.
Ben didn't hear it. Ben's just pretending to hear it. I didn't hear it.
No, I heard it.
Andrew says he heard it.
You just weren't paying attention. You heard it, but you weren't really engaged in the conversation.
Like I said, I've had an off morning today.
Ben is just lying.
You're battling through. Your Packers are playing. You had to work early. I get it. You're off a high of a bocce win. Look, I'm not mad at you. I'm not even going to tell you to cut your mic off.
So I'm kind of high.
It's okay. It's all right. But the Giants, I mean, it was a lot of New York Giants talk today. It was. You're right. But the Giants, who they were going to draft, conversation, I believe, sparked after Nick Bosa. Because they were looking at who needed quarterbacks.
Mm.
And like Bosa would be the number one pick. And
a lot
like,
of Giants talk.
You just wait 2 hours for Tua or 2 years for Tua. And I was like, well, they're the only team who needs a quarterback this year. Now, that's how it happened.
A lot of Giants talk.
Not even mad at you, Ben. Great game at Bocce last night.
Thank you.
Great shot.
You as well.
Thank you. 2-0 into the winner's bracket championship. Got any NBA headlines for me?
Dan Mason or Derek Mullen. Jesus Christ.
Just be quiet.
No punishment from Florida Vandy.
Okay. It's time for the NBA preview next segment. Let's go.
I'm going to.
30 minutes of NBA talk before
I'm take a nap.
Keep rolling. No, engage. Talk. I need you. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cody McClure, I gave you some homework last night. Give it to me. What do you think the biggest NBA storyline is heading into 2018? 18/19. Give it to me.
The biggest storyline.
Yeah, what's the biggest storyline?
I mean, LeBron plays for the Lakers now.
Okay, I think that's the answer.
Yeah, I mean, what else would it be?
Okay.
I didn't need to do homework for
that.
Not
bad. You got number two?
The Warriors are still the favorite.
Yeah, okay. This isn't going so well
so far. But they're not as big of a favorite as they were last year. They started the season as title favorites listed at minus 200 of multiple sports books.
No, I'd say that's bigger than they were last year. I mean, there's the whole DeMarcus Cousins thing waiting in the wings.
They have 1-2 odds.
Yeah, I'd say that's bigger than they were to start last year.
No.
Is it not?
Not according to David Purdom.
Okay, maybe not.
ESPN.
For some reason, I thought it was closer to just kind of even money last year, but okay. I guess you didn't see the Rockets coming, and you figured the Cavs would take a step back after Kyrie had gone. So, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll say LeBron's number one, barely.
Kawhi?
I'd say Kawhi's my number two.
Kawhi in Toronto?
I really want to see Kawhi in Toronto, and I'm really fascinated to find out whether or not he can get back to that top seven NBA player range. Mm-hmm. Because when Kawhi was right, he was number three. And I do think that Anthony Davis will have passed him. I do think that maybe you get the leap. Everyone's waiting for the leap from Giannis. You know, Giannis and AD are pretty much the runaway favorites for MVP. Although I'm not sure if the Pelicans are going to win enough games for Anthony Davis to... I'm more... If I'm picking like a team that's going to be disappointing and maybe have a player, you know, basically hijack the season, I'm a little bit worried about what happens if the Pelicans start off losing and you realize, well, they didn't give Cousins the money and they let Rondo leave and now it's Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday against a bunch of everybody else and the rest of their guards aren't very good. If Anthony Davis is like, hey, I'm leaving at the end of next year, I'm just letting you know I'm unhappy here, sign LeBron's agent and all that stuff so people think he's headed to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated with that. I do think the Pelicans might take a step back, but Giannis and the Bucks, like I think he is a storyline people are watching. He's got a new coach. He went from maybe the worst coach in the league last year to Mike Budenholzer, which I know a lot of people haven't watched the Hawks, but he's a really good coach, and you would think Giannis takes a big leap there. So I do think the East is going to be better. You know, last year the storyline was, can LeBron make the finals again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's gone. Now you're just kind of left with, you know, Boston, Philadelphia, maybe Toronto's better than ever. Maybe the Bucks can take that leap.
Raptors at 14-1 right now.
To win the title or the East?
To win the title.
Yeah. I mean, it is tough. And look, I get it. Everyone always says, you know who's going to make the finals. And right now, I mean, I think everyone would pencil in Boston and Golden State if you ask that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Golden State's going to be there. And you would expect Boston to be there. Maybe, you know, another big storyline for the NBA this year outside of LeBron and the Lakers is the impact that has on the East. You know, you expect Boston to come out of there, but I would expect the Raptors and the Sixers to be pretty competitive there and possibly come out of the East.
Well, I mean, the Raptors were four games better than the Celtics last year. And they upgraded DeMar DeRozan with Kawhi Leonard. And their young players like Fred VanVleet and OG Obuwanye, or however you say his name, are supposed to be better this year, right? So, like, there's an opportunity for the Raptors to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And for Kawhi to go back to being a top-five player and fix his image and remind you, oh, yeah, he's really good.
To me, just the fact that we're not getting Warriors-Cavs again
is enough.
Is enough to create – I mean, that's a storyline.
You are guaranteed. You are guaranteed.
Well,
to not get Warriors versus I'm not gonna say the Cavs. Warriors versus LeBron in the finals.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You've had four straight. You're guaranteed not to get that for a fifth straight year. I mean, that's worth some celebrating, right? For everyone who's tired of the same thing, you don't have to watch the Warriors versus the Lakers, or excuse me, the LeBron again.
Right. Well, you might see the Warriors LeBron, but not in the finals.
Not in the finals, and I'll take them in the playoffs. I'll take that playoff matchup.
Yeah.
And I do think the Lakers have an opportunity to be a lot better than people think. I do think, like, they have some exciting wing players that you look at and say, man, LeBron can roll out of bed and get to 50 wins.
You expect the Lakers to be the third best team in the West?
I wouldn't be surprised if they're the third best team in the West. If I was going to bet right now, I would say they'd be the fourth.
Behind the Thunder?
No, behind the Jazz.
The Jazz?
The Jazz. Jazz were awesome last year at the end of, you know, when they got healthy.
Yeah, I guess
the last, like, 40 games of the year, they were really good, and they got better. Huh. I mean, we all hated him at Duke, but Grayson Allen looks like he's going to be a good backup point guard for them off the bench. Like, he looks like he's going to be a good combo guard who is going to help them win games. So, no, I would go Golden State, Houston, Utah, Lakers as the top four. Now, maybe not in that order. Maybe the Lakers are better. Maybe the Lakers can get to two. I don't know. It can go one of two ways with the Lakers, and I think that is why they're the most fascinating story, is that either LeBron James is going to look around and say, man, my second best player is Brandon Ingram, and he's a year away, and Lonzo Ball is a couple years away, and Rondo is out here, and, you know, that's the only guy I can really trust, and, man, maybe I should just kind of take it easy this year and
preserve that body
and wait till I get some reinforcements next year. Or there's a mode that LeBron goes into that, like, hey, have you guys forgotten that I've dragged J.R. Smith and 38-year-old Kyle Korver and Tristan Thompson to four straight finals? Like, these guys are young and athletic, and they're better than those guys, and I'm still going to go out and be a force. That's what makes them so fascinating, is like, is LeBron going to try to go into FU MVP mode? Like, everyone's waiting for me to take a step back year 15. Nope, better than ever. I mean, you're 16 now. Is it year 16 at this point?
Is it really?
He was 03, 04. So this will be 18, 19. Is that 15 years?
I think it's 15.
Okay.
4, 5, 6,
you don't have to count 8, your fingers. 9,
10, 11, 12.
I cannot wait for Andrew to light up as he says, it's actually 16.
I lost count. 3 or 4 or 5 or 6.
So, like, there's one of two ways that can go. This will be his 16th year.
Yeah, according to my calculations, this is number 16.
According to the internet, according to Basketball Reference, 16th.
When was he drafted?
His first year was 03 in the NBA.
03, 04. I don't know. I'm looking at it. It says 11 seasons in Cleveland, 4 in Miami. So this will be number 16. So, like, yeah, like, does he just go into, no, I'm going to defy time and I'm going to still be the best player in the league and I'm going to carry this team to a top 3 seed in the West and be a legit title contender? And, quite frankly, another story with the Lakers is, hey, if they are sort of close, do they trade an asset for a player? They didn't do it this summer, right? Like, they didn't trade for Kawhi. A lot of buzz around them trying to go out and get, like I said, Anthony Davis. I don't think they have the guns to do that unless they, like, gutted their team. But they could maybe trade Lonzo for Damian Lillard and get him a point guard.
Depends on where
we end. Talks around that in NBA circles.
Yeah. Depends on where we end up in the season.
Yeah.
How competitive are they?
If they're competitive, but, like, they're close, and, like, Ingram and Kuzma are better, but, like, hey, we can maybe upgrade here and go for it. That's what makes them fascinating. And the NBA looks at that and says, hey, our biggest franchise is the most interesting.
Maybe be the second best team in the West this year.
Maybe. Although I think Houston's still going to be great. I'm not as worried about them defensively as I was in the offseason. I think they'll still be fun.
No matter what happens, this is Golden State's last run this year, right?
Feels that way. Feels that way. There's a lot of talk, and look, you used to roll your eyes about it in the NBA, like when you had rumors a year out, but it seems like all those have kind of came true. Like, you started hearing about Kevin Durant to the Warriors before the season. Then he went there. You started hearing about LeBron to the Lakers about this time last year. Then he went there. All offseason you've heard Kevin Durant to the Knicks.
And he's going there.
If I was betting, I would bet that he goes to the Knicks.
Durant takes New York. LeBron takes L.A.
I mean, that's the best way for Kevin Durant to fix his image, right? Is, like, to go to New York and say, you thought that I was just riding coattails of championships? Okay, I'm going to take this huge franchise that's been really disappointing for 30 straight years, and I'm going to lead them to the Eastern Conference Finals.
To me, that's much better and a much bigger storyline than anything we've got right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the NBA would be salivating. Like, if they had LeBron in Los Angeles,
Durant in New York.
Kyrie and, like, the Boston Celtics as a elite team. And, like, even with Steph Curry and, like, if Durant leaves and, you know, then Klay Thompson probably stays and Steph and Klay and Draymond are still there and they're still a top four team and you got Golden State, the Lakers, and Boston and New York and then whatever's going on in Philadelphia. And
I mean, Durant goes to the Knicks at that point, I care nothing about anything but the Lakers and the Knicks.
Well, I mean, I still think you would have to give Boston the respect if Kyrie stays there because Boston's still going to have a really great team.
I mean,
and I think if you have Steph Curry, Draymond, and you know Klay Thompson still in Golden State, I still think they are worth considering.
Well, you get Durant out of there, that gives you a really good. Yeah, I mean, you're right because it gives you a really good potential for the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals every year.
Yeah.
But, like, ultimately what you're thinking in your mind is NBA Finals, LeBron, Durant.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that would be the dream matchup. But I think people would also be loving the idea of another Lakers-Celtics series, LeBron versus Kyrie.
Yeah, that would be – oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, like, if you're the NBA, you're really happy with the way this is all coming about. But to answer your question, yes, I do feel like this is the Golden State's kind of last run, either – Durant or Klay Thompson will leave.
Well, I hope it doesn't work out. Is there any chance like Golden State doesn't win it all this year? Like Durant just, you know, there's locker room issues or something.
Look, man,
or like,
yeah. I mean, like DeMarcus Cousins doesn't come back from injury at 100%.
Creates problems in the locker room.
I mean, I don't think the locker room problems will matter because they claim they had locker room problems last year. But look, I mean, keep in mind the Rockets were up 10 in Game 7 without Chris Paul. And it took them shooting historically bad from 3 to lose to them. Like, Trevor Ariza went 0 for, like, 12 or 0 for 15 or something like that.
Plus, like, the wear and tear on the body for, like, however many playoff runs in a row has got to be, like, weighing in on them now, right?
Yeah, they've played 100 games in a, you know, 100 games a season for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
This will be the number 5. So, like, yeah, like, they're on their last legs and their bench is older and their bench isn't as good and, like, no, it's possible. I mean, I don't know who to pick to bet against them. But, yeah, like it's possible the Warriors could not win it all this year. I still think they're the most likely to win it all. Let's catch a break. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Russell Smith.
TNT, you get Celtics, Sixers. Another storyline that I have kind of maybe thought was coming that will be interesting to see unfold is the Celtics and how they deal with integrating Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward back into a lineup that will send Terry Rozier's minutes down, that will maybe stunt Jason Tatum's growth a little bit. Jaylen Brown's probably going to be the odd man out of just, you know, feeling like a star. The good news is if there was a coach to be able to handle it, we all think it's Brad Stevens. But I do feel like you have 9 guys on that team that probably feel like they deserve minutes. At least. 10, really. So, like, managing those egos and managing those expectations will be tough for Boston. Either it could combust a little bit, or they could be completely unstoppable if they just all click and know their role. Boston has a chance to be the best team in the league. Even, really, I would think, over the Warriors, if everything clicks. Assuming DeMarcus Cousins isn't full strength, because I do feel like once they got full strength, they would be a problem. But I do feel like the Celtics could run away with the East if everything clicks, or I feel like they could maybe struggle a little bit bringing on all these new personalities and reduced minutes. Them versus the Sixers is a pretty appetizing first game, right? Or no? Does it do anything for you?
Does a lot.
No, it doesn't?
Yeah. That's tonight, right? It's a big start to the season.
Markelle Fultz, we'll see him back. He's going to be back in the starting lineup. Number one pick. Like, if it works out for Philadelphia, like, they're getting a top flight prospect.
I mean, it's a couple of stacked up rosters.
Yeah. Now, I do think that Toronto is better, going to be better than Philadelphia. So I do feel like this isn't like an Eastern Conference Finals matchup, but this are two teams pretty close together that played in the playoffs last year.
It seems to me like the Raptors have a better, or the Sixers have a better roster, but the Raptors have the best player.
I don't even know. I wouldn't say that either. I do think the Raptors have the best player, and that's the thing that Boston might struggle with. That's the thing that might make the difference in the East, is that I don't think Boston maybe finishes this season with even the fourth best player in the East. Or let me say, I guess the fourth best at the fourth ranked player in the East at best, I guess is how I should say that. Because I do feel like Kawhi, Giannis, and Embiid, all more talented than anybody on the Celtics team. All better right now. Is that an overstatement in your opinion?
No. No, I don't think so. Like, assuming Kyrie back, I don't know what Kyrie's going to look like now, but
assuming Embiid continues to progress and assuming that Giannis is the player that everyone thinks he's going to be this year, and I do feel like that could maybe hold Boston back, you know, being the best team but having the fourth best player.
I don't know. When Kyrie's really good, he's really, really good. You know,
yeah, but I still don't think Kyrie's highs are as good as those other three's highs. Like, what's Kyrie do great? He scores. Okay, what's the second thing he does? I don't know what the second thing he does is. Whereas, if you look at Embiid, he scores, he rebounds, he plays defense. Giannis scores, rebounds, passes.
All around, Kyrie's not as good of a player, but for what he does, handling the ball and scoring, right. Like. I mean, I think his highs have been pretty high when you go back to, like, the 2016 finals.
Oh, yeah, but, like, I don't think he carried that team by any means. He was the second best player on his team.
It's LeBron's team.
He was the fifth best player on the court. Maybe the fourth best player whenever he was hot. Maybe you put him above Klay at that point. Sure.
Yeah.
So maybe he was the third best player. Boston has a better team, better roster, but, you know, I feel like the other three teams in the East have a chance to have the best player. We'll see if it matters.
Would you rather have the best team or the best player? It depends on how good the player is, I think.
Right, it depends.
Like, we've seen Boston not get it done because Cleveland had LeBron.
Right, like last year Boston had the better team and Cleveland had LeBron, and I'd rather have LeBron.
Boston had by far the better team.
Right.
But they didn't have LeBron.
I mean, not even just keeping that to Boston, but Toronto, when they went against the Cavs, Toronto had by far the better team. Cavs had LeBron. So, like, yeah, if you can get to that level where one of those players is a transcendent star or the first or second best player in the league, I think I'd rather have them over the team. I think. I mean, we have a lot of history of that, although I guess in the finals, if the team's still really good and, like, yeah, you don't have the best player, but you have three other guys before, you know, you would take the second best player on that team, then I think you take the team, right? Because, like, that's what the Warriors and Cavs have had, was Cavs' best player, Warriors 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, it depends on how big the gap is, I think.
Yeah. Tweeter writes in to cut my mic off, says it's Bama week. What the hell do you want me to say about Bama on Tuesday? What the hell do you want me to say about Bam on Tuesday? They're really good.
Look, we have the number one NBA guy in Knoxville. I mean, we're going to use him.
I'm okay with not really being ready for NBA talk. But if you want to, like, talk college football or NFL, like, that would be a better request rather than wanting to focus on Bama week on Tuesday. What the hell are we supposed to say? Hope we can keep it close.
I mean, we already covered that. What do I do?
Tua's playing. Like, cover. It'd be nice to not get hurt and to get out and be able to get back to South Carolina feeling good about yourselves.
This is just Don Henley with the Eagles. We have the number one NBA guy in Knoxville. We're going to use him.
Alabama has a lot of redneck fans. What else have I missed? Butch Jones, intern. Let's make Butch Jones intern jokes. He's an intern that we're paying millions of dollars to be someone else's intern. Those things aren't funny to me anymore. Like, it's really, I mean, it's funny that you see him on the sideline taking notes. You know, it's funny the idea that he's an intern, I get it, but you're paying him millions of dollars to do it. And a lot of you liked him for a lot of those years. It always makes me laugh when those people are the ones making fun of him. Like, yeah, that was your guy for four of the last 5 years. What happened? Now he says talk about circumcision instead. I mean, we kind of just did. We talked about, you know,
when Tennessee cut Butch Jones off.
Oh, well.
They basically cut off.
I was going to go with, you know, the pain that Tennessee is most likely going to feel on Saturday. Like, I'm still trying to enjoy the Auburn win.
I thought you meant, like, cut the excess.
I got you. I understand.
You don't want me to go into detail about what?
No, I understand.
Is that not the most uncomfortable topic in the world?
I'm having this conversation with you. Yeah, like, I don't want to think about it.
Like, think about how awkward that must be for people like listening to radio.
Last call. Last call here on the program. Time to pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cody Mack, would you have to go first or second?
Second.
How about you go first today? Actually, I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first. Update on Piggy Smalls. I wanna know. You know who Piggy Smalls is?
Is that the pig they were luring with Doritos?
No. Good guess. I mean, I guess it's an obvious
guess.
Oh,
yeah, I've heard of Piggy Smalls. It's some celebrity pig. He's the pet of...
All right, getting closer.
It's not Kanye. And
no.
Is it Drake? And
No.
Damn it. Hang on, I'll get there.
We talked about him yesterday.
I'll get there. It's not A-Rod and J-Lo.
No, we talked about him yesterday.
Piggy Smalls. Is it a Kardashian of some sort?
No, getting colder. Getting colder. Athlete. Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson's pig.
Ah.
They broke up.
Right.
Well, Ariana Grande is getting custody of Piggy Smalls. That's the update.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, how about another pig story about the Atlanta airport?
Okay. Stop.
Drop. A passenger traveling from Ecuador was relieved of his leftovers when an intrepid beagle found a roasted pig's head in baggage at the world's busiest airport, Hartsfield, in Atlanta. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
You say that's the world's busiest airport?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's well known.
Okay.
Tends to be.
Is that like an actual fact, or are you just saying that?
No, yeah, it's the world's busiest airport per... It's like, I think it's like the number of foot traffic based on number of people, I think, actually in the airport, foot traffic or whatever. It's the world's busiest airport.
Yeah. Checks out.
Mm-hmm.
London has the world's most airport traffic, but they have multiple
airports.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably what it, like New York has LaGuardia, Newark, and JFK.
Right. Okay.
LA's got Burbank.
I'm glad I stopped on the story so I could say Atlanta has the busiest airport. All right.
Yeah. So U.S. Customs, they found a pig's head basically in a trash bag that somebody had flown with.
Oh, yeah, I did see this.
And was trying to fly with. Agriculture specialist, it was 2-pound cooked pig's head. It was seized and destroyed. I mean, it was cooked. I thought you could have snacks on the plane.
I thought this was America.
They gave you peanuts and other stuff. Why can't you have pork?
Anyway. Shaoyun Fat? No, okay.
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life.
You know who that is?
No.
Can I hear you again?
Shaoyun Fat is a mega movie star from Hong Kong. His fortune, $714 million. He was in movies. movie such as Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Anyways, he has said that when he plans on dying, he plans to leave all $714 million to charity. He says that he only spends $102 a month on himself. Says he uses the same Nokia phone for over 17 years, up until 2 years ago, whenever he finally got a smartphone, only because his Nokia stopped working. He still shops at discount stores. I don't wear clothes for other people, he says. As long as I think it's comfortable, then it's good enough for me. When asked why he's going to give away all his fortune, the money's not mine. I'm only keeping it safe for the time being. But God, how about that?
Interesting.
$102 a month. He has $714 million and he spends $102 a month. I'm going to go watch Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon just for him. Just for him.
Twitter appears to have been hacked. That's it.
I already rolled, so go ahead.
Wendy's worker gets interesting message on receipt.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I said that wrong. A Wendy's worker called a customer chubby on their receipt. A Gaston County man was left with a bad taste in his mouth after recently visiting a Wendy's in Gastonia. This is in North Carolina.
I've always wondered, like, can you sue Wendy's for this? Like, is Wendy's, like, corporation culpable
for
the emotional distress that their worker puts on you? Or is that a part of, like, franchising that, like, hey, you can only sue this one particular Wendy's? You can sue the worker. I don't know, because I feel like being called chubby at a fast food place would be kind of traumatizing.
It was around 8 p.m. on October 4th
Damn it, I just wanted the 4 for $4. When I'm hungry and I want the 4 for $4, there's only one person I call. Wendy.
What if you order an 8 for $8? It was around 8 p.m. on October 4th when Big Jimmy Shoe stopped into the Wendy's on East Franklin Boulevard in Gastonia. Chubby Shoe said he walked up to the counter and ordered two sandwiches, one for his fiance and one for himself, which that's a classic.
Yeah.
I've done that one many times. Oh, yeah, I'm picking up my girlfriend.
Pick up your phone. Hey, what did you want? Oh, the Whopper?
Yeah. Classic
you
excuse.
The thick burger from Hardee's? Two of them? Okay.
Classic. We've all done it. Sometimes you just want the chicken sandwich and you want Dave's double. So the girl asked him his name at the register, so he gave her his name. Clear as day, he says, Jimmy. She said, okay, thank you, handed him his ticket. He said he didn't pay any mind at first when he looked down at it, but then he was waiting, and he looked down and noticed it said, Chubby. Heavy Jimmy said he was upset, but he was ready to let it go. That's when another employee came to the counter with his order and called out the name on the ticket. He was hesitant to even say it, but then he did. He said, order here for, Chubby? That's not my name, but that's my order, Jimmy said. And he grabbed it and walked away and was very depressed. He said he got really embarrassed and everybody started laughing in the restaurant.
Is there a picture of this guy?
No, I'll see if I can find him.
Is he chubby? Is he fat?
I would imagine.
I mean, I guess calling chubby is better than fat, but okay.
This reminds me of middle school for me.
Yeah, except you are the one bullying everybody else. You're not getting off that easy. That'll do it for us. Good job, my Ben. Good job, Cody. Intern Andrew, no issues. John Reed, phenomenal as always.